on Mondays and Fridays, we get together and figure out all the problems of the world. Brother Johnny, Houston, Texas. Hey, Johnny.
Davey, I'm actually getting drenched in New Orleans, Louisiana. Drenched.
How can a guy miss so often? 50-50 is my odds.
It's kind of
unbelievable.
It's kind of like you, when you used to pick football winners when you're betting, Steve.
Let's go to Mike Ditka, Hall of Famer icon from Chicago, I trust. Mike, good morning.
You're right, Steve. Good morning.
Woohoo! Okay, got one right. All right, balanced budget amendment. Of course, we're still talking about this debt limit and ceiling and all these things government is talking about. We got a couple of weeks till August 2nd. The president says essentially it's Armageddon. It's a doomsday. Michelle Bachmann disagrees with that. In any event, if there are 49 states that have a balanced budget amendment, why in the world would Dick Durbin on Meet the Press say yesterday there's no chance?
That's common sense. You know, this stuff all has to be tied together. I mean, it can't be just one thing. It's got to be a debt ceiling. It's got to be, what they're going to do with the tax situation, what they're going to do with cutting spending. All this has to be tied together, and they're not willing to tie it all together. They think that each one of these is an individual thing. It isn't. It's the only way the economic picture in this country is going to get sound is for you to tie it all together, put a cap on it. This is what we're going to do. This is it. We're going to cut spending. Here's what we're going to do on the tax front. We're going to limit some of these tax cuts. We're going to do this. We're going to do it. Fine, but do something.
And a balanced budget, you're going to have to say we'll have a balanced budget within the next 8 years if you did have one, Steve. They've got $3.6 trillion they're going to spend, and they're bringing in about $2.2 trillion. Yeah. So they're just not going to vote on a balanced budget and have a balanced budget.
You know, Lincoln said it back in 1861, you can't spend more than you make.
And they've gotten in that habit. It's just a habit.
You don't have it, you can't spend it.
Yeah.
Common sense.
So it has no chance now, even if it would take 8 years to actually do the thing. But why wouldn't you be for something like that if you're a member of Congress?
Well, that's a good question. I guess it just doesn't seem anybody's really trying to think through the problem. They're just positioning in politics. As they get closer to this deadline, they are starting to think we got to do something. And that's when you usually make bad decisions, when you're up against the wall. We'll see what they do, but it's a poor way to lead. Look, they had a chance to really get into this for this year's budget, and they couldn't even freeze it from last year's amount. They just had to add 4%, and they almost shut down the government over that. So,
yeah.
Whoever said politicians were leaders?
Yeah, well, that's an interesting observation.
Come on. I mean, most of them aren't. I mean, let's face it. You know, they take positions. They wash each other's back. You know, they do all the stuff instead of what's right. You know, we heard all this stuff through the elections about country first and this and that. That's bull. It's only party first. Let's face it. And until they get over that, they got to wake up. What's right.
I think there are a few in there that actually have country first going, and they're getting a lot of heat. And of course, the general media trend is to say that the no tax increase is what's holding this up, and the amount of taxes they would get won't make a lot of difference. And I go back to, if you just keep giving them money, they're not going to stop spending. And I think that's the big debate is, well, what are you going to do if we do give you some more money? How are you going to get this under control? And that's where there isn't a plan to do that. So,
but the middle, if the tax increase is coming from the middle class, it's not going to be the big people. There's so many loopholes that they find. Close the loopholes. Fix the tax thing. And then you can have a system that makes sense. And you let everybody pay a fair tax. A fair tax, whatever that is. It's not too complicated.
And you know, we've been talking about that for 20 years, some kind of reform, more than that, really. And there's just not any real interest in doing it. And that's where I criticize the whole bunch of them is, you know, we've seen this. This isn't just, we didn't just wake up with this. And now when it becomes a situation where it seems to be a pending crisis, everybody's talking about this, that, and the other. And as soon as they get out of this corner, you won't hear another word till they're in the next one. And that's just...
It's crazy. And both sides right now are like they're afraid to lose any face at all. Like, I conceded something. You know, this is the same in the NFL. There's got to be concessions made on both sides if you're going to ever come to any kind of agreement that makes sense. I'm not sure I really understand this. I mean, it's an embarrassment to say that these people represent us.
Do you think the president has a
plan? Johnny, you're right.
Do you think the president has a plan? Do you think he has a plan? Because he's not really talked about it.
I don't think anybody really has a plan. They have ideas of what they would like to see, and they want to implement different parts of things. Democrats have one, the Republicans have one, the president has one. You know, it seems to me, that you say, okay, listen, you know, you start simply and say, we got to do something right now. Do we increase the debt ceiling? And if we do, what's the option? What do we give the other side? You know, something has to be done. It's got to be done fast. I mean, you know, I don't think it's going to be the end of the world if it doesn't, even if we default on some things. It's not going to be the end of the world. The United States is too big and too powerful, but it certainly sends a terrible example. When you see countries like Greece and Italy and everybody else who are really have gone upside down, and now all of a sudden we're supposed to be the greatest country in the free world, and all of a sudden we're upside down because we got some politicians that can't agree on it.
Well, we're sending Greece money, Mike. Where is that coming from?
Oh, well, not only that. Look, no, I don't want to get into who we're sending money to. My God, we're sending money to the people over there that were harboring a fugitive. I mean, come on.
Pakistan.
Well, see, to answer your question, now, Obama doesn't have a plan. He has a concept. He'd like to cut spending in 80% or whatever the cut in the deficit is, and then add the rest in taxes. But no real way of doing that. And I think he did come up with $2 billion of real specific cuts. $2
billion. Billion.
Which is, that's like, remember we used to give 2 pennies for milk when we were in grade school? That's about.
Yeah.
Well, actually, that 2 cents was probably more than what you were talking about with $2 billion in this context. So not much of a plan. I think they're going to end up getting kind of backed into something like what McConnell had, which Obama doesn't want to do because he'll have to go back again before the election and go through something like this again.
It's just all about the election. Yeah.
All the problems we have right now come from one thing, big government. Government's involved in every aspect of our lives right now, and that wasn't meant to be. It was never meant to be that when it was written out by our forefathers. And they're involved in it. They regulate this. They regulate. Come on. Let people operate. If they don't do it right, then you fine them appropriately.
And I agree with
you. We're talking, Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka.
And one problem we have, we'll talk about it as we debate and discuss things. We'll talk about wanting 30 people who don't have health care to have health care. Yeah. Everybody wants that. But for some of us, we think, you know, the worst thing you can do is expect government to actually deliver health care to 30 million more people. Then there's others who say, turn it over to government. Then my conscience is clear. Everybody's got it. But they can't do it. That's my point is giving more money for a good cause may sound good. We've seen the track record. We need to protect our borders, and we need to have oversight over our economy, such as Wall Street. That's still not acceptable, in my opinion, and health care and insurers and the like, but you don't run it. They can't, the government, anywhere in the world through history, the government has a hard time running anything. And so that's where big government gets less service for more money. And that's just.
All right. Absolutely.
It's 743, Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka on 93.5, 95.3, the new Connect FM. I tell you, one thing that's bothered me particularly in the last couple of months is the ending of essentially our shuttle program. We built these shuttles to go into space 100 times. We're quitting after 30. The former astronauts are very upset with this administration, essentially ceding space to the Russians. We're going to now pay $50 million per seat for a ride to the space station through the Russian program. Does it bother anybody else at all? Since John Kennedy, we should go to the moon. We're essentially standing down here. I don't know why.
Well, I don't have an answer to that. I don't know. I don't know what's in space. Neither do you. Neither do the people who are sending people up there. I don't know. Relative to the world that we know, within the next 100 years, that anything in space could be done that would really be, that would really help this world in the next 100 years. Maybe beyond that it would. I don't know. I understand the weather satellites and all that. There are a lot of good things you put up there, but I don't know.
I think it's kind of the pushing our culture, our species. I think it's research and learning, and I think it's, what is it, the last frontier. I think the NASA budget was 20-something billion, as in nothing,
no,
again.
Right.
There were some technical arguments about the shuttle versus a more of a rocket-type launch, which is way cheaper, and these days probably even, or at least as reliable, if not some say more. But I think that cutting back on the space program is a shame, because we do learn peripheral things. We just always seeking knowledge has been one of the things that drives us, and then that's how we learn what we can do to create a better place. So I don't like the administration's approach to NASA and the $3.6 trillion budget somehow could come with $20 billion space program.
Hours ago, Casey Anthony walked out of jail. She has $537. This is the woman found not guilty of the death of her two-year-old. She walked out at 11 minutes past midnight. The county's excited to get rid of her. There are 300 protesters jeering her. There's thoughts she'll make $1 million on a book deal. But there's already groups forming, Mike, that say, don't give any blood money. I'm not buying that book, and I don't know how many Americans would.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's always a certain segment. You know, she has a fan club already, and, I mean, if people can understand that, which I can't, that's, I mean, there's always going to be a certain segment of our society that condones who she is and what she did. Great, let's face it. As far as making money, I wouldn't be interested in reading or hearing about anything she had to say, but she's got a couple lawsuits. She's got to pay some money back to the state. Now, I don't understand that either, because they tried her, but now they're suing her for the money that it cost to put the cases on.
Well, I
based
think
on the lies,
that,
I think, is what...
You know, Steve, it's interesting. It's ironic, but I was watching the British Open yesterday. And, you know, I didn't think to go out there to in front of the courtroom when she came out. What in the... can you get a life, Steve?
Yeah.
What
yeah.
are they doing? Can you imagine going out and yelling at Casey Anthony coming out of jail?
No.
It's ironic because those are the people that are going to ensure she makes her millions.
Oh, yeah. No. They're idiots.
Because they're making this a controversy that yeah. people do want. You know, if 2% of the United States of America, which just so happens to be about 5 million people, paid $2, you know, that's $10 million. Of course she's going to make a bunch of money, and her attorney's going to make the deal because he hasn't gotten paid yet. So he's going to make sure she gets something so he can get some money.
Yeah, all right.
And I can't believe we as a country have found that story so obsessing. It's a commentary of some kind, but I can't.
It is amazing, though, all types, when you're talking about getting into get a ticket to watch the sentencing. I mean, it is amazing that people have that kind of time and interest. The NFL deal, quickly before we take our break, again, mediation this week, but at some point this deal has to get done, Mike.
I thought it'd be done by the end of this week. I really do. I hope it is. It would make sense to have it done. Evidently, it's most of the major issues have been agreed to. There's some other things that they're working on, and I'm sure both sides want to make sure that it's airtight as they can get it before they do it. But, you know, then again, you know, missing another week is not the end of the world, but I think this would be the week. You get in there by the 1st of July, you know, you're going to have a normal routine. At least you're going to have a training camp, and you won't have the off-season thing, but you'll have the training camp, preseason, and get into the season, which is plenty. That's all you need. So, I mean, it'll work out. If they get in there in the next 10 days, I think it'll be fine.
Well, I think with that, they've come up with something they kind of agree on, the rookie pay scheme.
They have to do the rookie thing. Whether people like it, whether rookies like it, whether agents like it, it has to be done to preserve the game.
Yeah, and I think they've come up with something. So with that, I think that they will be announcing that they're going to go back to work, so we can start talking about real football.
Yeah, that's right. All right, we're going to take our break. We'll be right back in a moment. Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka. We'll check in with the Wall Street and find out what the heck's going on with our numbers this morning. We'll do that next and then be right back with John and Mike here to wind up. We've got to talk about several other things here before we... Johnny and Mike Ditka, 93.5, 95.3, the new Connect FM. I tell you what, I thought it was some story, Johnny, about Darren Clark loses his wife to breast cancer. He's won 20 tournaments worldwide, but had never won a major. Good to see it. It's some karma going on there with some of the bounces. Phil Mickelson missed a rushed 3-foot putt that really hurt him on the back.
Yeah, I thought that he was running up there. He'd done so well. He was, I think, six under
30,
for the day 30
on the front.
And,
30 on
or
the
five,
front.
And then he rushed that putt, and that was it. But Clark sure is good. What are we going to do about these Northern Irish, Mike? Holy cow.
Well, you guys it was breaking up there for a minute for me. I couldn't hear a lot of it. I really thought going into the weekend that even Parr might win it. I think those guys are magnificent athletes. I don't think people who play golf, unless they played over there, understand the difference. I mean, it's a whole different variety of shots you got to hit. And you got to know what you're doing. And then you've got to you got to get a little lucky. You know, the ball's got to get on the right side of the mound sometime, whether it's a drive or an iron going into the green. And if it does, it'll roll toward the pitter. If it doesn't, it'll roll off the green into the rough. But I don't think, people really understand what a delight and the conditions they played in, what great athletes these guys are.
See that worm burner that Darren Clark hit the sand on the other side and ended up beautifully. He had a couple of really nice bounces. It was something.
Oh, yeah, it's well. I mean, and you have to have, and nobody has more imagination than Phil in imagining the shots you have to hit. And you really got to manufacture some shots. I mean, it's just what it is.
Well,
I mean,
Phil, Phil made an eagle, and it was very few people were even under par, and he made an eagle to tie Clark, and maybe he was one down. Clark goes and makes the same eagle, and that was
unbelievable.
Else. Because that's what you
and exactly, and they take advantage. When that wind, when they're downwind, they take advantage of it. When they're into the wind, they know they have to keep the ball low and run it. And I have to say that it was a joy to watch what I watched of it.
Yeah, I agree. I enjoy watching that. I really do enjoy watching that.
It is amazing to see these guys endure that weather. It's unbelievable how it changes from 10 minutes to 10 minutes. It's just something. All right, Women's World Cup. I thought I really got hooked late afternoon yesterday into that thing, and I thought America and USA dominated Japan. Way more shots on goal, but something was going on there with Japan's fight and what happened with the tsunami and their will to win, because I really thought USA should have won that match, but Japan wins, probably great for their country.
Well, it really is. It was great for women's soccer, I think. That's the main thing.
Yeah, for sure.
They had something run across up here that there was a record of 7,500 some tweets per second during that game. It was like a record. So, I mean, I don't even know what tweets are, but that's pretty interesting.
Like a text message, I guess. So people were sending the message all over, and the thing was 2-1 in extra period with 3 minutes to go, and I still haven't seen a great view of the Japanese woman who kicked it. I don't even know the foot went that direction. It was unbelievable how she got that into the net. I couldn't believe it. These people are something else, and so Japan wins the World Cup. Finally, should NBA go back to the old rule and let the NBA draft right out of high school? They're talking about that this morning.
They have to wait a year now, is that right?
Yeah, they have to wait a year, and they go to college and do the window dressing and all that stuff. Everybody knows they're coming out after one, but guys like, John Wall and, of course, LeBron, these guys, they're ready to go. So should they have to do college for a year?
Well, I don't know. Why don't they just do it? Sign a contract with the parents, and when the child's born, they have the right to. I mean, I don't know. It's stupid. To me, if you can't wait a year, I mean, my God, these are high school kids. First of all, it's not about whether they have the talent or not. Do they have the maturity to be in that environment at the age of 17? That's all I'm asking. If you think they do, fine. Let them do it. I think it's terrible myself. I think the NFL rules the best. You cannot draft somebody until the class graduates. Period. That's good. Mm. So if you don't want to go to college, fine. Then you go out working a meal for four years, and then when it's time, then you can play basketball.
Yeah, it is tough to get in that NBA environment at the age of a high schooler, and it's I have a hard time saying they can't do it, but I think Mike's right. It's going to be better. And besides, it's so much fun in college if they could take advantage of that time. You're only going
to
be that age.
They don't go
time.
To school to learn,
yeah,
John.
Go to school. Yeah.
If they have a chance to go to the NCAA championship or something like that, it'd be a great experience for them. They don't care. I mean, really, they don't care because they know their only payday is coming when they get into the NBA.
And I'm
right,
not sure
and the problem, you know, the argument is, you know, they could get hurt and they got to, you know, make hay when
they Hey, you can get it. A lot of things can happen, you know, you blow your nose, you could, you know, you fracture a vertebrae, too. That's just the stupid stuff. We could get hurt. You know that. There's risk involved in everything. If you don't have the risk, then you can't have the game. It's stupid.
I think, too, if you look at their ACT scores, if they ever took them, that would be probably indicative. These guys are basketball players. I don't know if they've gone to high school.
And probably the universities have been very lenient in some of the rules to let them get in. Personally. And they understand because they're good for the program, they're good for the school, they bring money if they're good. And you know, I don't know, you know, college athletes, we've said it 100 times, amateur athletes. You know, I don't know. Should they be paid for it? I don't know. I'm just telling you, I don't know if they should be or not. But, I mean, the system has worked in this country for a long time. You know, you're an amateur, then you become a professional, and you get paid. But until you're that, then, you know, you're an amateur. So, you know, the idea of having a talent, one of the great assets of having great talent in any sport is you can get a college education. And if these kids don't think it's important, that's their business.
Yeah. Well, and Harry Potter, the new movie, Mike and Johnny, $307 million on its first weekend.
Well,
and let me say this, not a penny of it mine.
You're not going to Harry Potter, Mike?
I don't get too excited about Harry.
Well, that's a heck of a movie. I have one question for you, though, Mike. I was going to ask you about those Major League Baseball Pittsburgh Pirates.
How
about that?
Are
they a good team this year? What's going on up there?
Well, I think they got talent. You know, youth and talent. And you know, after a while, I think you say to them, and I'm sure the manager said the same thing. You know, I think it's our turn. We're as good as these other guys. When we look at these other guys, because they have a bigger payroll, whether it be St. Louis or Cincinnati or Chicago. We're as good as they are, Milwaukee. And they are. They really are. They've got a couple of real good players, and they got some good pitching. So they're pretty solid.
All right.
Well, we'll talk to you gentlemen on Friday. As always, thank you so much for your time and talent. We appreciate you, Mike. Appreciate you, Johnny.
Thanks, DJ. Thanks,
all right, guys. Take care. Okay. Bye-bye.
Talk to you soon. Bye. It's Mike Ditka, Hall of Famer, icon. Brother Johnny, member of the National Academy of Sciences, entrepreneur extraordinaire. He's in New Orleans this morning where it's raining, cats and dogs. Mike in Chicago. I am Stevie J. We're going to take our break for the new...